healthy life.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, David Weatherly making his encore appearance here. His latest book, Strange Intruders. Now, before we go on, let me ask you about that title. Intruders, that implies evil or harmful.
It does. And, you know, it's sort of based on the concept that most of these beings that I cover in this book are, you know, they're certainly unwanted visitors. They come in very suddenly into people's lives and, you know, hence the title Intruders.
Okay, but coming in unwanted, does that mean they want to do us harm? Or are we just frightened because they're strange?
You know, what I really focused on in this book was beings that seemed to have a more sinister agenda, or at the least were causing very unsettling and disturbing periods in people's lives.
So an example, obviously you mentioned the soldiers who bring back an artifact or a necklace or jewelry that's been infected or infused with a djinn. What other things do we see happening?
As far as other beings that are covered in this, so I cover the shadow people too. And this is something that, you know, has floated around in the paranormal world for a long time, no pun intended. And once again, a lot of those who are studying this djinn lore are now interpreting the shadow people as, oh, this is just a manifestation of the djinn. I really feel it's something completely separate. And these encounters, you know, they're called shadow beings because they literally look like the shadow of a person. However, they move independently of physical people.
As opposed to looking like a fictional shadowy character.
Right.
Pulp Fiction, okay.
Right. So, you know, these are shadow forms that seem to have a life of their own. And this is something that, you know, picked up a lot of steam in the past several years with the introduction of all the ghost hunting shows. You know, you occasionally see these guys go out and talk about shadow people and, you know, haunted locations that are plagued by shadow men and so forth. And they're always presented as these sort of dark, sinister figures that are, you know, coming in to cause misery in people's lives. And I receive a lot of accounts of these things. They're pretty much falling in the same category. You know, someone will begin to see the manifestation of this shadow being in their room. And it's very intriguing in that part of the time it seems to border on stories similar to the whole night hag lore. You know, these beings that come in just as someone is falling asleep. There's sometimes sleep paralysis is involved. And you really have to wonder what psychologically is going on with people that are experiencing these things, because, you know, they're convinced that they've had a real physical experience. There aren't that many cases where multiple people are seeing these things at the same time, which, you know, certainly leads to believe that there's something going on within the specific people that are having the experience. There are some cases where a shadow being is, you know, seen multiple times by different people. Some haunted locations like Waverly Hills, you know, that has a famous shadow figure that shows up, and a lot of people have reportedly experienced it and caught photographs of it and so forth.
Parenthetically, David, have you noticed how these days images of cultural influences, strange events, fairy tale type phenomenon have become infused in our society? So we have hit TV shows like Once Upon a Time, which takes off your fairy tale characters and gives them kind of a realistic aspect to them. We have also, what's it, Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, which is Alice in Wonderland. We have Sleepy Hollow, where Ichabod Crane and the Headless Horseman are transported through time, and we get all sorts of shadowy creatures running around. Mm-hmm. And we're getting all this in our society. Is it just a trend? This is what sells in TV these days, or is there something more?
You know, I think that there are two answers to that. One is that, yeah, it is, it's definitely a trend, but, you know, which came first? Because it's also a trend because so many people are interested in the paranormal. And, you know, an interesting thing happened in the course of all of this television, you know, reality entertainment and its development. And that's that the paranormal went from being a virtually taboo subject to being part of pop culture. And in the midst of that evolution, we've had people, you know, go from being absolutely tight-lipped and refusing to talk about their weird experiences to being more than happy to discuss every little, you know, odd bump and noise that they've heard in the night. So, you know, I always joke that after being in this field for so long that, you know, when I started, it was really difficult to get people to interact and relate their, you know, accounts and their experiences to me. You had to work at it.
Yeah,
and,
it's becoming more mainstream.
It's very mainstream. And, you know, my joke is that when I started in this field, if I walked in a party and said I was a paranormal investigator, I was guaranteed to have a nice quiet evening by myself the rest of the night because everyone was like, yeah, you know, that guy is really weird. Stay away from him. But now I can walk into a party. And if I say that, man, the reaction is the opposite. They're lined up out the door because everyone's got a story that they want to relate to me, you know. And then some of them are,
David,
you know,
what do you equate that to? Do you think that we're seeing a dichotomy, sort of a ivory tower, sort of stovepipe scientific knowledge is going so far beyond the comprehension of most people that people are starting to kind of have a knee-jerk reaction the opposite direction towards superstition, interpretation, folklorish interpretations of things that they don't understand? Do you think that this modern era might be the cause of that?
You know, Chris, I think that's part of it. I mean, we've got a variety of things that have contributed. One is the television shows we're talking about. It's made it so much a part of the mainstream that people are now comfortable saying, oh, yeah, you know, I saw, you know, the ghost of Aunt Matilda or whatever. So people are, you know, more than willing to share those experiences. We also have a lot of people that are really anxious to believe that these things, you know, are happening and that they've had some kind of experience that is unexplainable or is paranormal. So, you know, you will get these stories where, you know, they're, oh, you know, I'm sleeping and I got up the next morning, my coffee cup was moved. And I know it's my, you know, the ghost of my dad, because only he would move that coffee cup. And, you know, so you get some silliness like that, but it's people that are really reaching for something to believe in. And like you're saying, Chris, there's a certain degree of people reverting back to a more primal set of beliefs. But my God, you know, we've got science now that is saying that they're not sure how to explain things or how to reach further. And these quantum sciences, you know, they're trying to find the God particle and things like this. So, you know, it's as if the rubber band is getting stretched very far and people are just reaching in multiple directions at the same time because they need something more and something that resonates at a deeper, you know, almost spiritual level.
Does that also possibly explain this anti-science attitude on the part of some people? It may be because of their political or religious persuasion, but doesn't matter what you say. The earth is 6,000 years old. Doesn't matter that we have the prehistoric artifacts. You know, we should be teaching creationism in schools. So whatever science has more or less accepted as settled over the years, now you have people saying, no, that's not so. Let's go back to what we believed 100, 200, 500 years ago. And maybe then we should also have, I know, flat earth theories, that the earth is really flat. It's not really round. The earth is the center of the universe. And that's it. We're the chosen people. So we should live back in, what, the 15th century. But that's a belief system. And I think part of it is that maybe science has failed people because people are overwhelmed with the disclosure of the day, so they want to go back to something simpler. We'll find out more with David Weatherly. And Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out, iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, entitlements, looming Obamacare. The death of the U.S. dollar as a global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you're concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and we'll discuss your options of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metal IRA. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar crashes. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
The fall season is here. Falling downstairs, bad. Fallback pricing, good. Don't fall down the stairs. Go to freezedryguy.com. Vote for special fallback pricing on delicious freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods. Vote early. Vote often. Through October 10th. Tell us which product to put on sale. Then, beginning October 11th, Fallback Friday, the price of the product with the most votes will be on sale with special fallback pricing. Missing out on a sale on emergency preparedness food, camping food, or backpacking food? Bad. Storing delicious freeze-dried entrees, fruits, vegetables, and desserts? Good. Go to freezedryguy.com. Vote now through October 10th for fallback pricing. Voting for politicians who expose themselves? Bad. Voting for fallback pricing at freezedryguy.com? Good. Go to freezedryguy.com.
Every time you eat a cooked food, your body responds by producing an increase in circulating white blood cells. This happens because nature designed us to eat food that is undamaged at the molecular level. When we heat food to normal cooking temperatures, we change the shape of the molecules into shapes the body cannot use. The body now looks at them as toxins and allergens. In an effort to protect itself from this irritant, the body intelligently increases the amount of circulating white blood cells to act as garbage collectors. The white blood cells gobble up all the unusable damaged food particles to neutralize their cell damaging properties. This puts stress on your organs of elimination, and your body is subject to cell damage and inflammation. If you'd like to start experiencing the benefits of undamaged protein in your diet, give One World Way a try. It is a truly undamaged protein powder that will thrill your tastes and every cell of your body. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So I brought this up because Popular Science Magazine recently, with their online forums, they blocked comments to scientific articles. They turned off the comments machine. You know, like you go to a blog or something, there's always a comments panel. Or like we have forums over at forum.theparacast.com. And they did that because a small subset of people were just getting in there and starting flame wars over things that we pretty much accept in science, complaining about everything, the so-called anti-science crowd. So David Weatherly, as our society grows, do we find people seeking the simpler life when we didn't have all this? And does that explain the anti-science attitude we see?
I think that's a portion of it. I mean, you have to consider, too, that the rapid development in technology, it really has overwhelmed people. My gosh, for people like us that, went from little black and white televisions and color was a big deal. And, now you can walk around with a little handheld device and watch, television from Asia and in your hand if you want to. The rate at which technology has grown, and it really has overwhelmed a lot of people. I think that, we have a lot of people now that are reaching for something that is just more, earthy, I guess, for lack of a better word, something that feels more tangible that they can place their faith and belief in. And as a result, we have a lot of people turning back to, different expressions of religions and spiritual traditions that sort of strip away all of these modern concepts. And science certainly is at the top of the list when they start pushing those things away and rejecting them. Some of it's political at times, but other times people are just connecting all of these various threads into their religious concepts. How many things do we hear now on a regular basis that must be evidence of the mark of the beast? And these are people that really are also looking for something that is transformative, because with the conditions in the world right now, particularly in the West, with the, the crushing economy and all these different things, I think a lot of people want an escape. They want something that is going to provide relief from these things that they just have no control over within their lives. So as a result, they turn back to, more spiritual, and sometimes, you might want to term it superstitious beliefs. But if it works for them and it brings some kind of balance in their lives, well, who are we to say that's wrong?
Going to the theory that our scientific and technological development has gone beyond our spiritual development and we got to get things into balance again.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to take this a step further and pose the question, do you think that this cultural kind of pulling back towards more basic sort of human superstitions and explanations to attempt to explain these mysteries that are not considered scientific in nature, do you think that we could actually see manifestation of new types of phenomenal creatures, events, similar to the black-eyed children? Now, this is a fairly recent, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a fairly recent interpretation, and these encounters, I think, are fairly recent. And we have a question from one of our forum posters, Jeff Davis, and he brings up an interesting point. He said, when I first started reading of the black-eyed children via Jason Offit or Lon Strickler, yourself, is where he thinks he first read about a, quote, single individual camping trip black-eyed children report, and the same person that reported the incident stated later that it was a self-admitted hoax from someone that liked to fool people over with his campfire stories. And they seem to think that this originated on Above Top Secret or some other form of that nature. So his question is, how have you substantially overcome this aspect of the black-eyed children saga to the effect where you felt it merited further investigation? Was this a hoax, as the man who wrote the article stated, or was that itself some sort of type of false communication? And I would add, or are we seeing the emergence of a new type of paranormal phenomenon?
Wow, a lot of questions within that. Let me see.
That's about two shows right there, so we can take our time.
Well, very basic. could this have started out as a hoax and now has a life of its own?
I don't think so. The reason I don't think so is because, going back to what I was talking about earlier in the show, what I do believe is that we're seeing a modern manifestation of something that we've seen before. And it just so happens that it has taken the form of these, strange kids with the solid black eyes that are showing up at people's homes. A lot of people tend towards the idea that this is a modern urban legend, but it really, I found evidence that says that it's not. I'm not familiar with the story that he references about a camping trip. I'm not sure. Maybe that was one of Jason's accounts that he collected, or Lon's, but you know, the earliest account that usually is credited with starting the sort of modern wave of these things is the Brian Bethel account. Now, that showed up on the internet in 1998, and Bethel was a journalist in Texas who went out one evening to write a check and drop it in a Dropbox at a shopping mall. And as he's sitting in his car writing his check, these two kids approached his car. And he was kind of nervous initially and you know, only rolled his window down just a little bit and asked them what they wanted. And this interaction was just odd. You know, they were asking him for a ride to their home so they could get money to see a movie. And Bethel had the consciousness to look over the marquee and see that the movie they wanted to see was, you know, more than half over. So nothing was making sense about this interaction. And during the course of it, they made eye contact with him, and he realized, oh, my God, these kids have solid black eyes. This is, you know, too much. It sort of pushed him over the edge, and the flight response kicked in. So he pulled away, and when he glances back, these kids have vanished. They're just nowhere to be seen. And that sort of is typical of a lot of these accounts that have come along, you know, people experiencing these kids, and they seem to vanish almost in the blink of an eye. They always try to elicit an invitation inside or in your vehicle or whatever it is. So, you know, Bethel's account in 98 initially caused a few other responses to be posted on the net. You know, people put out similar accounts that they had encountered these black-eyed beings. And then we sort of see different waves of it come along periodically. I got interested in it because I started meeting people who had physically encountered these things. And I was intrigued by the idea because when you start looking at the accounts, you'll find that these things have traits in common with a wide range of paranormal phenomena. You know, when I wrote the book, I didn't try to convince anyone that any particular theory was correct. I just put all the accounts out there and the evidence and said, you know, here it is, judge for yourself. You can correlate these things with alien hybrids. You can correlate them with manifestations of demons and a whole wide range of things. So we may be seeing something that, again, is part of the human subconscious that people are, you know, perceiving some type of entity. You know, Rosemary thinks these things are a manifestation of the djinn. So, you know, we may be seeing people perceive these things as this new meme of the black-eyed children. But once again, if you go back historically, you'll find various accounts of black-eyed beings.
Okay, we got David Weatherly joining us. So much more to talk about. Weird creatures, black-eyed children, and so much more. And answering your questions, listeners, with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig a long time ago. LeSig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vape enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LeSig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LeSig.com or call 870-525-1440. 870-525-1440. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
There is only one detox product that stands out above the rest, Micro Plant Powder, and it's available only at hempusa.org. Micro Plant Powder does wonders by removing toxins from the body. Detoxification is a vital process that's extremely important for restoring your health. Micro Plant Powder is available in 8 different formulations, and we can help you choose the one that's perfect for your lifestyle. Micro Plant Powder is 100% chemical-free, non-GMO, anti-inflammatory, gluten-free, and packaged by hand in BPA-free containers. HempUSA.org wants you to be healthy, and Micro Plant Powder is one of the best ways we know to detoxify your body from head to toe, all for about $10 a month. Take back your life and enjoy living again with Micro Plant Powder. Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Micro Plant Powder. Available only at hempusa.org.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit herbalhealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. Herbalhealer.com, working with the power of nature.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Chris is trying to get on his best gin, black eyed children kind of voice. What is a black eyed children as opposed to a black eyed pea? What does a black eyed children sound like?
Black eyed children.
Sounds like you're trying to channel Yoda and give him a sore throat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Yoda with a sore throat.
This brings up another question by Wade Ridsdale, and he questions the original Brian Bethel account that kind of took off on the internet. And he wonders out loud here on forum.theparacast.com that, you know, he wonders, has the internet and by extension the sharing of social media muddied the waters to a large extent when it comes to attempting to get to the bottom of some of these accounts?
The short answer is absolutely. And, you know, the internet also, I think, contributes to the sort of co-creation and manifestation of some of these things. A perfect example is the Slender Man. I don't know how much you guys know about that, but I also cover that in the new book. And
you know what? Why don't you take a moment here and talk about Slender Man?
Yeah, Wade was asking about Slender Man, too, the first part of his question.
Yeah, sure. And let me back up, because right before the break, I wanted to throw in this black-eyed being thing. You know, they have discovered a statue in Göbekli Tepe in Turkey that they call the Urfa Man. And I encourage you to go on and Google an image of this thing if you've never seen it before. It's a humanoid figure. They made the eyes out of black obsidian. So this is, you know, a being that's thousands, a statue that's thousands of years old that depicts a black-eyed being. So once again, I think this is something that is passed down and gets reinterpreted by, you know, through the contemporary lens in different periods of history. So jumping over away from that and into Slender Man, wow, this is a weird topic. First of all, Slender Man is an internet creation, literally. What happened was there was a forum called Something Awful, and someone posted this contest idea on the Something Awful forum, and their idea was, hey, I always like to make, you know, paranormal themed photographs and different things and post them for people to look at and you know, promote them. And he said, you know what, let's have a contest and create something original that has a paranormal theme and make it go viral on the internet to convince people that it's real. So when the contest started, you know, various people were posting, you know, photoshopped cryptids and UFOs, all types of things. Well, along comes this guy who posts a very subtle series of images and concepts. And the idea was that there was this being called the Slender Man. Now, he's depicted as a human figure that's very tall, incredibly thin, usually in a dark suit. He has virtually no face that is discernible, and these incredibly long arms. And sometimes he's depicted with multiple arms. And he started being tied to disappearances. He was tied to a strange fire that occurred at a school. The subtlety of this thing, I think, is what really empowered it. You know, it became a sort of modern internet interpretation of the boogeyman, you know, the creature that lurks in the closet waiting to snatch children. And it caught people's attention so much that the entire thread on the forum became just devoted to the Slender Man. And as this thing developed further, other people added to the mythos. You know, people started posting, someone posted a series of block prints, you know, from woodcuts that depicted medieval scenes of this weird multi-armed figure. They said, oh, here's the Slender Man has been around since, you know, the medieval period in Germany. You know, here he is in the 1940s. So people started adding all of this historical context to this image and to this concept. Then along came a video series called Marble Hornets. Marble Hornets was sort of was in the style of, you know, like the found footage Blair Witch type of thing. And it was this storyline that revolved around a student film being made, and the film suddenly gets stopped. You know, the production stops, and the director acts very bizarre, and the person who's doing Marble Hornets has this interaction with him and finds out there's this weird figure that the director's terrified of, and that guy eventually disappears. So, you know, we get all these threads contributing to really the whole mythology of the Slender Man. But then some very curious things started happening because people started reporting Slender Man encounters independently of this whole thread. In fact, Coast to Coast AM one night received this frantic call from someone who had this bizarre encounter with the Slender Man. And periodically, they've had other listeners call in and say, you know, I've experienced the Slender Man. So, you know, it's very fascinating to look at the history of this thing because we have an incredibly clear timeline of the creation of this being. Yet, on the other hand, we have people who are adamantly convinced that they have physically encountered this thing. So it's a really bizarre interaction between a developing internet mythos and, you know, some kind of, again, some subconscious fear or image that people have.
Right, renaming the boogeyman. Well, the same thing is kind of occurring with the Northampton clown.
Oh, yeah.
Perhaps we're going to be seeing these sinister clowns appearing around scaring little kids and moms and grandmas and stuff and setting up websites.
Well, there's already a website for the Northampton clown.
At point, exactly.
So, yeah, it's a really, it's a very curious thing. You know, people are, again, tying these things into, you know, other types of manifestations. There's a gentleman named Robin Swoop, who wrote a whole book on the Slender Man. And he draws a lot of correlations between the Slender Man mythos and encounters with the gray aliens. You know, these sort of lanky figures with long arms that, you know, cause paralysis and so forth. So, again, we may be seeing some type of modern reinterpretation of a classical image or, you know, energy that exists around us. And, you know, to get back to that original question, yeah, the internet is, you know, again, it's like all the glut of paranormal shows. It's a blessing and a curse at the same time because, you know, you can tap a few words in Google and just get a wide range of leads for research and so forth. But then, my God, the amount of stuff that's posted on there, you know, on the net in general, is just overwhelming at the same time. And obviously, a lot of it is just virtually impossible to chase down or follow up on. And, you know, within the paranormal field, it's led to, you know, countless reports that are anonymous, and, you know, the location's not even existed, and it might sound intriguing, but if you have no way to really pursue it or follow up on it, then it's very difficult to test the veracity of it in any way.
But that also goes to setting you to wondering there, are these things just created by people having fun at our expense, or is there some reality behind this that maybe someone out there is generating these images for a more sinister or higher purpose?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's
a wacky question, but you get my point.
Yeah, I get your point. I mean, for me personally, you know, when I research these things, I try my best to, you know, actually sit down and interview the people and, you know, multiple times and really get a sense of, you know, where they're coming from and what they're doing. I think, you know, once you're sort of a seasoned investigator, and I'm sure Chris has had this experience too, it becomes a lot easier at a base level to know what the motivation is that someone has for presenting their account, you know, and there's a lot of red flags that easily come up within, this spectrum of things. I mean, a great example of that is, you know, a lot of times if I get called about a location that's haunted or, you know, purported apparitions.
Yeah, David Weatherly joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
You are now in the crosshairs. The NSA and the FBI are treating you like a criminal and monitoring your every move. Ron Paul said recently, "The evidence of the totalitarian nature of this government is on display undeniably every day. What's taking place right now is a coup and the destruction of the Constitution. Fortunately, there is something you can do about it. Learn how to be invisible, lock down your privacy, and even disappear forever. Go to privacylockdown.com to learn how. That's privacylockdown.com.
You know about RVs, you've heard about bunkers, but surviving is not recreation, and man wasn't made to live underground. Introducing Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid survival bug-out house that's mobile, well-equipped, and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Go to survivalistcamps.com to learn more. That's survivalistcamps.com, providing your basic needs to survive. Survivalistcamps.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Amazon.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
My name is Kay Swirling, and I am in the early part of my 10th decade. I want to discuss the issue of pharmaceuticals versus minerals and vitamin supplements. I remember a discussion between my mother and me. It was at that time that canned vegetables and fruits were introduced into the U.S. market. It was some time before my mother and others felt comfortable with food in cans. That was also the time when drugstores offered for sale cough syrup and aspirins and not much else. Let's fast forward to this decade, the here and now. Simple drugstores are large corporations with the message that they are the ones who have the power to cure human ills. Meanwhile, the battle continues with minerals and vitamins being the answer to human ills. Who will win the battle? I believe and hope it will be the belief in the power of vitamins and minerals over that of the toxic chemicals in prescription drugs. What do you think?
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So David Weatherly gets called up about possible hauntings, but is it something more? David Weatherly is author of a book called Strange Intruders. His most recent title, joining Gene and Chris in the Paracast. You want to pick up further on that question, David?
Sure. You know, as far as red flags, when you sit down and start examining a case, the popularity of the ghost hunting shows, for instance, I find that a lot of the times, if it's a situation that is either not on the up and up, or it's really stretched to the point that, okay, you heard a couple of noises. Why are you convinced that this is, you know, the ghost of someone? A lot of times these people, you know, within a short time into the conversation, the question will inevitably rise. Do you think this would get on Ghost Adventures? Do you think those guys would come and investigate? Could we get taps in here? And you get these situations, you know, where is people, they really are just looking for their 15 minutes of fame. They're thinking, hey, this is a great way to help this along and help it happen. I have a friend of mine who actually has a ghost hunting team, and about once every 2 or 3 months, he'll get called in, and his team will go in, and when they show up at the purported haunted location, there'll be a party going on. And it's, you know, the housewife has invited all her friends over to watch the ghost hunters, you know, walk around the house and collect evidence. And, you know, this is usually people that are just, they're looking for attention. They're looking for their moment in the spotlight and so forth. You know, I still find for the most part that a lot of the most intriguing cases are the ones you really have to dig for. You know, you have to get out into the communities and interact with people and talk and sort of, dig for the really good juicy stuff.
Yeah, the best ones are the ones that you hear about from relatives, neighbors, who say, this person, you're the last person they would ever contact, but I think you should know about this and somehow get this story from this person. And then you start digging, you start working on them. I've worked years, literally, to get people to fess up on really sensationally sounding cases that deserve attention.
Well, yeah, the same with me. And, you know, it's sort of second nature to me because, you know, when I started in the field, you just didn't walk up to someone and say, hey, has anybody around here seen a UFO? You know, they would have you locked up or ignore you. But, you know, you had to find a way to relate to the community and to the area that you were investigating in. And you know, like you're saying, Chris, you know, you hear from relatives or friends of friends, and you know, you just follow those breadcrumbs until you get to the real core of something to find out, you know, exactly what transpired, exactly what's going on. And you know, sometimes it's a dead end, and sometimes it's a real, you know, payoff.
But my favorite technique is to call them up cold and say, hey, I'm you know, Christopher O'Brien, I don't know if you've heard of me, but I've, you know, been investigating some pretty strange things around, you know, in this case, the San Luis Valley. And so-and-so mentioned that I should give you a call and introduce myself. So, you know, I figured I'd give you a call. Good talking to you. And then I'll hang up and then I'll call back and say, hey, it's Chris again. You know, how, you know, I hear your son's basketball team's doing really good, or, you know, what do you think of the price of hay? And I'll hang up and I'll do this every, you know, every month or two I'll call up. And finally they just break down. You never ask them what you want to know about. And invariably at some point they will break down.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, you go into some of these, little, you know, smaller communities and towns, these people just aren't going to automatically open up and start talking to a complete stranger. You have to build some kind of, you know, connection and rapport with them, you know, whether it's on a casual basis or whether, you know, like you're talking about, to slightly, you know, unsettle them just on a subtle level and, you know, get them used to the idea of communicating with you. It works. And like you pointed out, it's where the good stuff really comes in.
Well, especially if you're local and they can call you because they know that you're a local phone call away. We have some other questions. Here's one from a first-time poster at forum.theparacast.com. He calls himself Techno Mag. I think it's Magnet. I'm not sure. You know, and this is a question that I also have. Why do you believe the number of incidents of black-eyed children are increasing? And do you know of any other paranormal phenomena or phenomenon that is increasing at the same rate?
Sure. Well, the gin, you know, the number of accounts related to that has grown at a pretty rapid pace. The black-eyed children and black-eyed adult encounters have really taken off in the last, probably the last 5 years. Now, a lot of those accounts that are surfacing, they're actually not recent. You know, I get these things almost on a daily basis, and I know several other investigators that track them too, they get accounts on a daily basis, and they're hearing different ones than what I do. So there really are a large number of these things surfacing. A percentage of them are always, hey, you know, I just heard you on a podcast, and, you know, I experienced something like that, you know, 8 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. So it's partially that people are suddenly identifying what they experienced within the context of these more contemporary encounters. I think that, once again, we have to credit the internet, you know, the rate at which anything related to the paranormal spreads like wildfire, you know, through all the social media and so forth, I think reaches just a lot of people. And we also have to attribute it once again to the way that all of these topics have become so mainstream. You know, any given night you can turn on the television and find a show that deals with some kind of weird phenomenon. So, you know, people are, there's more and more people watching and listening and, you know, relating their own experiences.
Good point. And I think that the more people get comfortable with discussing these types of things, it is going to have the effect of flushing personal experiences out, I think. And we're seeing more of a cultural acceptance of these subjects, and I think that is allowing people the comfortability factor, for lack of a better term, to actually come forward to people like yourself and other investigators. Here's a question from Polterwurst, who's one of our just past the 500 post mark at forum.theparacast.com.
Of course, we have to think whether we should get him some kind of trophy. We have people who posted over 1,000 messages or even 4,000 or 5,000.
It's true. Well, Polterwurst has been around for about a year and a half, and he's very active. He doesn't post as often as some people, but I pay attention when he does post. He has a couple of questions here, and he's a little bit, what would the word be? He's not sure if a lot of these modern sort of, in vogue, as he puts it, paranormal phenomena are real legitimate. Like he says, the djinn, Slender Man, and Black-Eyed Children. He says these are more modern sort of urban myth type, manifestations of the unexplained. But he says that because of his own experiences, he does think something like disincarnate consciousness is quite possible. And he wonders, could it be that this is what is at the root of these mythologies?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And, you know, I would jump in and add in that, you know, the Slender Man, yes, is very modern, but, you know, there's certainly a lot of historical basis for the djinn and, you know, even black-eyed beings as we explore that more. But, you know, his idea that this is, you know, due to some kind of discarnate energy, it's certainly possible. But, you know, it also sort of plays in, for instance, with the mythology of the djinn, that these are some type of entities or consciousness that are able to assume a wide range of forms. So, you know, if something is in an energetic form trying to get to you, it's probably going to utilize whatever works within your cultural concepts to, you know, trigger fear or response or whatever it's trying to initiate. And, you know, taking off on that a little bit, we also have to start to question, where is the line that we start to co-create these experiences with our own energy and our own,
right,
you know, mental attention? We start to get into the range of the tulpa, which is actually the topic of the book I'm working on now. And, you know, we have to begin to question, okay, what, you know, how are we creating this experience? Is it coming from completely within us, or are we interacting with some type of energetic consciousness?
Well, he also has a follow-up question, which I think is a good one, and it kind of sort of hits at where we're discussing here.
We'll have a follow-up question in our next segment. We have David Weatherly. He's written books about the black-eyed children and about the strange intruders and a lot more. And we have plenty more to talk about with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info, or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256, or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.